Well, a tug a tug a doo doo at the
Welcome back to Building the Bakken. I'm your host, Jason Spies. In our next segment, Bakken Distribution, we talk with Matt Rose, the executive chairman of BNSF Railway, Jerry Moyes, the CEO of Swift Transportation, Curtis Shuck, executive director of the Port of Vancouver, USA. And this Bakken Distribution feature is brought to you by MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oilfield safety solutions. Visit their website at www.mbienergyservices.com. MBI Energy Services. And now, back to our Bakken Distribution feature. This is the executive chairman for BNSF Railway, Matt Rose.
Well, baby, baby. Hey, I've got the pose.
All right, so we talk a lot about, you know, how we're going to handle all this business, and to me it comes down to capital, money, and people and processes. And just to again give you an overview of our capital program, $5 billion, record of any time any railroad ever in the United States or in the free world. Very large. About $1 billion of that is for expansion, which is how we're going to build out this railroad to handle more volume. 46% goes just to renew the railroad each year. That's the 4 million ties we have to put in, 350 miles of track we have to replace, and then 32% you can see in locomotive and car. That expansion and efficiency is 18%. That's where we're adding the double track. We'll continue to peel that onion. Back to 2000, each year it's been a little lumpy, but each year's kind of been an upward move in capital to the $5 billion plan that we have this year. So how do we add capacity on the railroad? It really comes in four buckets: people, locomotives, rolling stock, cars, if you will, and infrastructure. Locomotives, we are bringing on 500 locomotives. So far, we brought on 274, and each month we're getting on about 45 locomotives from here on out. TY&E is our people that run our locomotives and train and yard people. We've had it 1,890, and we're plans to add 3,000. The engineering mechanical hiring, God bless you. Expansion capacity, we've spent already about $326 million of the $900 million. And then finally, maintenance capital, we're about halfway through on our maintenance plan. Locomotives, again, we've got huge locomotive programs, 500 locomotives. I think that's an all-time record. That's on about a 7,400 overall locomotive plan. People, big numbers. We hired 4,000 in 2013. We're hiring 5,000 in 2014. And that, again, is well above attrition. Here's the North Dakota numbers. We've hired 478 so far. It is, for everybody that reads the newspaper, not in the state, but in the rest of the country, you hear about unemployment. There are no unemployment problems in North Dakota, as I know I'm speaking to the choir. We've had to go above and beyond to be able to hire our employees here in North Dakota. Maintaining and expanding. Again, we're going to spend about $1 billion, and this is an interesting stat here. We've got 150 economic development projects in North Dakota. So if anybody thought that you all were putting the wall up and no more business, well, there's 150 new businesses coming to North Dakota that on our railroad alone that we've added since 2009, and that just continues. Every year we're adding more and more and more people. And then on the right, it just shows you our expansion and maintenance projects just in North Dakota alone. $390 million. I remember back in the day, on the former BN, which is the former BN side of the BNSF, there was years that the entire company only spent $750 million, and we're spending $390 in this state alone. I was out in Minot on Monday and went out and looked at some of the expansion projects. It's really quite impressive of what we've got going on out there. We've already delivered about, I think, 22 miles of double track, and we've got, we've delivered 40, and we've got another 22 coming in the next 45 days. So we're starting to see this stuff actually come to fruition. We've had quite a bit of expansion in our Minot yard, and that's already in. So we're starting to see this, and we should expect to continue to see the velocity of the railroad to improve.
And that was Matt Rose, executive chairman for BNSF Railway. Next, Jerry Moyes, CEO of Swift Transportation.
I want to talk a little bit about Swift Transportation. Got a little of the introduction, but just some statistics. We run, I have another little company, so we'll combine that, Swift and Central. We run about 20,000 trucks. We'll run about 7-8 million miles every day. We'll buy about 1 million gallon diesel fuel every day. Swift grows a little over 4 billion. And of that 4 billion, about a billion of it goes for fuel. So it's a very, very big number. It's something we're really watching. And it just shows the importance. And really, as we start talking about the price of oil and what's going to happen over the next few years in relationship with the natural gas and the consumption that we think that we can get to out of this natural gas. So we've had a lot of disadvantages and holdups in getting to natural gas on our trucks that I'll talk about in a little while, but right now we'll have 200 of these trucks running by the end of this year. And so what this is this is what we call a 12-liter Cummins. It's on a Freightliner chassis. But that box in the back is the 5 tanks that we have done. We've done a lot of this ourselves because this is brand new and nobody's doing it. So we've had to do a lot of this information ourselves. But that's, you'll see some of them running around. There's 200 of them that we'll have in service by the end of the year. Obviously, there's disadvantages, some of the issues that we've had, why we're not further along in this thing. I told the Wall Street a year ago I was hoping to be 10% natural gas by the end of this year. I'm probably going to be at 1%. And some of the disadvantages is the cost. Here's a slide that shows the additional cost of now I'm talking CNG right now. And as you can tell, if you only want to go, 350 miles, it's $26,000 or $25,000 all the way down to, if you only have a 700 mile range, it's up to $61,000. Now I can tell you what we have learned and some of the things going forward once we get into the next generation of these trucks, we're not going to be spending that much money, but we're already going through a learning process as we go through this, so that the cost is obviously very important. The weight, that little box in the back is 2,000 pound, and a lot of our stuff, we get paid with 100 weight, and so it's very critical that the weight's been a factor. The fuel lines, I'll talk a little bit about the stations, slow fill versus fast fill. Slow fill works if your truck is setting all night, but if you have to go fast fill, it's probably another 50 cents a gallon to use for the compression. So that's certainly been an issue. The range, our trucks today with diesel can run approximately 2,000 miles. So these trucks that we have designed, we're kind of down at the bottom end of that where we can run about 700 miles with them. So that's obviously a big issue. The maintenance is a big question mark. From the facility standpoint, our maintenance facilities, LNG creates some huge issues that we have to redesign our shop facilities. We have 35 major facilities around the country, probably another 20 minor ones. But we have selected CNG, and we don't have to do a lot of additional changes to our shop, but we have to do some. Then there's the maintenance on the equipment. Since this is new and no one has ever done this, we're not sure what the maintenance is going to be, out when we get out 4 or 5 years.
And that was Jerry Moyes, the CEO of Swift Transportation. Next, Curtis Shuck, Executive Director of Port of Vancouver, USA.
Minneapolis is playing an amazing role in the development of this oil field and the continued development of the North Dakota economy. And I think that's fantastic. Those partners are critical to success, everyone's success, shared success. I think from a West Coast perspective, the state of Washington, the Port of Vancouver, USA, and the other public ports in the state of Washington have an equally important role to play. What's happening is there is a shift in the supply chain and the way that in the lanes, if you would, in which those goods and services are moving. With the expansion and boom going on in Asia right now, there's been a huge focus and shifting by the railroad, for instance, of the movement of some traffic like grain. So grain, for instance, is moving out of the Mississippi River Basin, moving more into the PNW by rail now. And that's been a shift over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. I think we're starting to see also more of that supply chain shift on the energy side. You know, so for us, I do think that from the Port of Vancouver perspective, that there's a lot of growth. One of our major competitors is Houston. And it's interesting because
Houston,
Texas, yes, because a lot of product that moves from Asia moves directly into that market because, you know, Houston is known, you know, across the globe as being the center of oil and gas. Well, as
to listen to the full length interview, Curtis Shuck, Port of Vancouver, USA, Jerry Moyes, Swift Transportation, or Matt Rose, BNSF Railway, visit our website at buildingthebakken.com. And those interviews were brought to you by MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oilfield safety solutions. Visit their website at www.mbienergyservices.com.
You got me thinking really hard, something clever to say. Tug a tug a tug came my way. Hell, since I knew, I'll be out of my way.
Well, baby, baby.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energyservices.com.